The human body is very fascinating. It is an incredible, miraculous thing if you think about what all your body does. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. I can see this screen over here even though I'm looking forward. My eyes have this unique ability. I'm wiggling my toes right now and I'm not even really thinking about it. It's just crazy all that the body has. You think about some of the unique things about the body, you can find all kinds of lists, but just a few things. Approximately 80 to 90% of what we perceive as taste is due to our sense of smell. Your heart beats about 35 million times in a year, which is a lot. During an average lifetime, the human heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times. Over your life, the heart pumps 1 million barrels of blood on average. That's enough to fill more than 3 super tankers. If all of our arteries and veins and capillaries of the human circulatory system were laid end to end, the total length would be 60,000 miles, nearly 4 times around the Earth's equator. Crazy to think about. The skull looks as though it's one single bone, but it's actually made up of 22 separate bones cemented together along rigid joints called sutures. It is fascinating to think about what's in this body. And most of you look incredible. I'm just kidding, sorry. The truth is, the human body is meant to point to the marvelous creator. Our body is meant to say there is something going on. There is an intelligent designer behind this thing. There's no way this thing just happened or just came about or developed from animals. There's absolutely no way. Because you can't even get to the body without talking about the moral code and how incredible it is that we have a sense of right and wrong in our life. You know, just as the body is meant to point us to God, so is the local church. The local church is meant to tell the world that there is a place where unity exists. There is a place where love is genuine. There is a place where forgiveness is available. You know, the local church is God's plan A for the world. And it's so important. We live in such a time of great confusion and lostness, and the local church is to be a beacon of hope for the lost, a place where people who are broken and downhearted and in shame and lost can find people who want to welcome them in love and care, sharing the hope of Jesus Christ as we once were just like them before we came to know the Lord. But as you look around the land, what you'll see is story after story, and even across the room, story after story of churches that became divided, that became divisive, and that ended up in brokenness. Stories of division abound in this room, and many of us can tell of them, where once existed love and unity and fellowship, preferences and gossip and disagreements crept in. See, Paul knows the power and importance of a unified church. This is why he's writing to the Corinthians about all their issues that had crept in. There was divisions among them. They were celebrating different leaders. They were elevating their own individuality. They were highlighting their own preferences and their own freedoms. They were just a church at war with one another. And in chapter 12, we began to step into this conversation around spiritual gifts. Let's read together today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. We're going to finish out chapter 12 today and see what he has to say about our unity together. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, beginning in verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. A lot of verses today. Let me give you our main idea. Here it is. Every Christian has a role in the body of Christ. Every Christian has a role in the body of Christ. Two things I want to see today here, and we'll tackle them one at a time. Here they are. We must cherish our unity, and second, we must celebrate our diversity. We must cherish our unity first. Let's talk about what does it mean to be a unified church. Why is unity so important? And why must we cherish the unity that we share? Paul begins in verse 12, for just as the body is one, notice all the times it says one, many, all. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. Paul assumes here that the Corinthians know the word picture he's drawing when we talk about the body of Christ. He's drawing this picture that Christ's physical body, with Christ as the head, is this image of the church's fellowship together. That here at Christ Community, Christ is the head of our church. He is the one that we're worshiping. He is the one that we're seeking. This is why we're praying and fasting this week. This is why we're meeting next weekend, because we know that we need his wisdom and his guidance and his direction, and it will be on no man's shoulders but Christ's alone. He is our head. This idea of the body of Christ is a regular idea in Paul's theology. He writes it in his letters. Over 10 other sections include this sort of metaphorical language. This verse gives us a good breakdown of what Paul will say throughout the rest of this whole chapter as we get into 13, 14, 15, and 16. The human body is a unit, one unit together, made of many parts with a necessary diversity in its members. The parts of the human body work together as one with a dependent mutuality as each part fulfills its own important function. Likewise, the church is not the sum of just one man standing on the stage preaching. The sum of the church is its members. It's you using your gifts that God has given you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to serve the body together. I'm just one. You are many. We together make up a great diversity and a beautiful diversity that reflects God's goodness to bless Christ's community with men and women who are highly gifted, who've been given this grace gift and empowered by the Spirit to deploy it. And so you matter. All these things matter. He says in verse 13, for in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So since the spirit is one, he unites people across all lines of ethnicity and social classes that would otherwise divide them. It's important to understand that in this room, we are all equal. At the foot of the cross, there is great equality of each member here. That word baptized here is the same Greek construction as in six other passages in the New Testament, referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some other denominations take that baptism of the Holy Spirit and to make it seem like something it isn't here in the Bible. It seems as though clearly to refer to the cleansing and empowering work that the Holy Spirit does in a person at the point of conversion. Therefore, baptism is metaphorically to refer to the Holy Spirit's work within the believer to unite him or her to the body of Christ, and which is also the corporate body of believers. So upon salvation, when a person gives their life to Christ, they confess Christ as Lord, and upon their profession of faith, they are given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work of regeneration, cleansing us from sin and empowering us in him. Danielle, when she gave her life to Christ, she professed faith in Christ and was baptized. There's nothing magical about this water. This water is simply symbolic of what has already taken place in her life. She's died with herself and rose to life in Christ. It's a picture of her dying to her ways and now committing to follow Christ. But upon her conversion, she was given the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit's work here is to cleanse us and empower us. This is a very spiritual text. It highlights the vertical relationship that we share with Christ, that you share. Upon conversion, you are saved and you have this right relationship now with God through Christ. Justified, the Bible says. That means all your sin is forgiven, paid for, washed away. That means you have no other cause for you to be judged because your sins were judged on Christ. And that's good news. So if you're at all confused about Christianity, how do I get right with God? How do I make sure I go to heaven when I die? That's simple. Come to Christ. Do not delay any further. Come to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Because upon salvation, your sins are paid for. Judgment is handled. Blood has covered your sin. The blood of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. You are made right. But here's what also is important to notice about the text is you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you are called to live in fellowship horizontally with other believers. So you are saved to belong. You are saved to belong. It matters to think about this because the local church is so important to the New Testament. The people of God to the whole Bible is so valuable. And you cannot see yourself as an individual Christian apart from the local church. That's a no such thing in the Bible. Therefore, every one of us is special, and not one of us is better because all of us have been saved by the same Jesus for the same purpose. We are saved to belong. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. Paul is reminding them of the unity they share. Unity is to be central in the local church. A church that lacks unity has misplaced its priority. What are the areas we should have unity? I'm gonna give you four quick areas where we should have unity. First, we should have theological unity. Theological unity. We have a confession of faith at Christ Community we align with. We ask people to make sure they align with that before they ever lock arms here. We have a church covenant that they are to agree to before they ever lock arms here. Some of these things really have to do with the theology that we believe. Now, there are two things when we talk about theological unity. We wanna have open hands and closed hands. Open hands and closed hands. So we want to have closed hands when it comes to doctrinal things that truly matter, like God's inerrant and infallible word. We believe the authority of God's holy word from cover to cover is given to us by God so that we might know him, walk with him, and hear from him, and live for him all the days of our life. We don't disagree there. We close-handed on the authority of the word. We're closed-handed on Jesus' resurrection. We believe in the bodily resurrection, that Christ actually died in our place for our sin. He wasn't secretly quiet for a few minutes and then silently stolen. No, no. He really raised to life from the dead. It's a non-starter. We believe that. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe it's central to our theology of why Christ came and why it matters. These things were closed-handed on. We believe that salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So anyone that wants to be saved can be saved. You come to Christ and God will shower his grace upon you and forgive you. What are the things we're closed-handed on? I mean, open-handed on. Well, there are some things we disagree. I mean, you know, I preached last week on spiritual gifts. I shared some of my thoughts around tongues. And you know what? I could be wrong. So like, you might walk away from that and go, I disagree with them. That's okay, great. We're still good. As long as we're closed-handed over here, we can be open-handed here. We can disagree and move along. So we can disagree there. Eschatology, the end times, when Jesus is coming back and what's gonna happen at the millennium and what is the tribulation? And man, I don't know. I have my opinions. I have my position and I can hold it. I can share it. But some people might disagree with me and that's okay. We want to be open-handed and closed-handed. We can disagree on worship styles. Some of you would disagree on worship styles. I like hymns, all right? I just like a good old hymn. Jeff, oof, he does not like hymns, but he does it. He's grown. Lord's confirming him to become more godly. We want to have theological unity. Secondly, we want to have relational unity. God's family is a diverse group of people from different ages, races, backgrounds, paychecks, and spiritual gifts. We know in this kind of church, we've got to be able to get along despite the differences that are among us. We've got to make sure that we're unified around the right things. Just as scripture might dictate the kind of worship songs we sing, we want to sing godly songs and scriptural songs. We want to make sure that they're faithful to the text. So in the relational unity capital, the word of God binds us together. Who we are in Christ binds us together. The oneness of Christ, the oneness of his spirit, reminding us that we all now belong to the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. In the Corinthian church at the time, what had happened were some of the people were elevating their gifts above the others. They got braggy about their unique abilities. And they were pushing others down. Hey, can you just keep quiet? Hey, my gift's better than you. I'm more important than you. And they began to divide over these things. We must not seek to elevate one of the other gifts around another. We must seek to love one another, care for one another, celebrate the diversity in our church. We must find unity together in our community groups, in Bible studies, or the gathering of the body. Our diverse unity teaches the world that there is a place where true unity can exist, and it is in the local church. It is in a relationship found in Christ. So our witness as a church, both individually and corporately, tells something to the lost world about the God that we say we serve. Third, missional unity. We've been given one mission, to expand God's kingdom on earth by reaching people with the gospel and teaching them to follow Jesus. This is the Great Commission. This is what we do as a church. This is who we are as at Christ's community. We know we do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We strategize and mobilize our church to lift high Christ in our worship gatherings, to tell others about Jesus and to invite them to know Jesus while we're here and to encourage the church, but also we encourage you to go out and live for Christ as you're out in the world, being a good witness, owning the opportunities God gives you to share the gospel with others. What I love about this text so much is notice that that Paul elevates these two things and puts them straight together, the doctrine of the Spirit and the doctrine of the church. The doctrine of the Spirit, that is pneumatology, that's the theological word for it. The doctrine of the church is ecclesiology. These two things are together here in the text. Why is that important? Because it's so incredible to know that you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so as I'm preaching the word, the Spirit is working in the hearts of every believer here. Some of you are trying to think about lunch because Satan's got you distracted a little bit while the Spirit's trying to move your heart back here. Some of you, maybe you're here and you're like, I don't know what this guy's talking about because you're not a Christian. You don't know. but you're going to maybe be convicted along the way. You're going to feel like, man, I like this. I want to be here. That's the Spirit's work among us. And the Spirit empowers us. He meets with us. We don't have to invite the Holy Spirit here. He's already here. God is present here. And when we go, the Spirit goes with us as we go. Christ's community is not a building, but a people. And a question for so many of you is Christ's community, is church, a place you attend or a people you belong to? A place you attend or a place you belong? We need to make certain that we are together on God's mission. Our mission as a church is we exist to make gospel-centered disciples among all people for the glory of God. So missional unity, number four, and finally, philosophical unity. Philosophical unity. Our mission drives our vision or our philosophy. What is the philosophy of ministry at Christ Community? We're about discipleship. We're about seeing people saved and people discipled. We want to build up the church. We want to provide opportunities that facilitate discipleship among Christians. This is why here in the gathered church, it's the largest discipleship venue we have on Sundays. Here every week, we're going to lift high Christ. We're going to sing praises to his name. We're going to preach his word. We're going to trust in God to do the work to sanctify you and move you along in your Christian faith. We're going to exposit the word of God. We have community groups. They're for fellowship and application of the word to further your discipleship. We have Bible studies. They're for deeper study. We have children and student ministries for reaching and building up the next generation. We do lectures and events and resources that serve to enhance specific areas of the Christian's life. And we have marriage ministry and parenting ministry and the Institute, all that serves for the discipleship of the people of God. But at the end of the day, we're counting on you to grow up into Christ and to be able to make another disciple. We want to help you evangelize and lead others to Jesus and make other disciples. And so we must be unified in these things because unity is so mandatory for a church who set their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must guard our hearts against division and guard our hearts from others who want to who might want to divide and fight. Dwight L. Moody said, "I have never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided." We got to be mindful of our call to fight for unity together. And we must cherish the unity God's given us. Secondly, we must celebrate our diversity. Must celebrate our diversity. Let's look at verse 14. He says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." He continues the word picture there of the body. The body is representative of Christ. There's no divide in Christ's body. He stresses the equality of every person. So let me just say for just one second before I'm going to look at four truths to note about using your gifts here. But let me just say a quick word. You belong here. Okay, let me just say that again. You belong here. If you're not a member of a local church, like today at the end of the service, we're going to introduce 20 new members to Christ Community. If you're not a member of a local church, you need to join one. You need to find one. If we're not it, if you've been here for 6 months and your guy just don't know if they're my church yet, well, move along and let's help you find where you need to be. If we're not it, let us help you find where you want to be. If by all accounts, we are your local church, lock arms with us. If you're not already a member somewhere, because here at Christ Community, our elders, our pastors, we view our church members as those that we're called to give an account for. We're called to shepherd you. We're called to care for you. We're called to keep watch over your soul. We have to give an account for you. Some of you who aren't members, maybe of this church or another church, you're just out there floating. And I'll just say, if you're out there thinking you can try to be a Christian apart from a local church, you're going to struggle. You're going to fight against it. You're going to do things your way. You're going to be selfish. And you're just going to struggle. You're not going to thrive. Step into membership. Join with us so we can help you thrive and walk as a believer. Let me just say finally, whatever is keeping you away or keeping you back from joining a local church, confess it to the Lord. Forgive whoever hurt you or whatever it was. ask yourself, what is really keeping me? Is it individuality? Is it pride? Is it sin? What is it? And then confess it and move along. All right, four truths to note about you using your gifts here. First, every member is valuable. And they're all gonna say every member is. So if you're writing ahead, you just write every member is four times. Every member is first valuable. Verses 15 through 16, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Do you see what he did there? Man, some people think, well, the ear can hear better. I'm not just a foot. I can't hear anything. What good am I? You know, I'm just a lonely foot. It's like, that's kind of the point he's making, is you're both incredibly valuable. When my body moves, every part of me works in unison. It's all important. So you are incredibly valuable. You might not be able to, some of you, I know you don't hate people, but you like really don't like people. Like people are like, man, I'm such an introvert, but I must do people, so I flex. And you flex every bit of yourself to flex for people. Good for you. Just because you don't like incredibly love being extroverted doesn't mean you're less valuable than some other person who can't wait to get to the next party. And some of you are those people. I'm one of those people. So if you wanna hang out, let me know. But my wife would be on the opposite end of that. And she would say, you know what? I'm flexing here because God's called me to flex. And I wanna be here and I wanna do these things. And all you know my wife know that's the case for her. But we're different, but no less valuable. Secondly, every member is important. You're important. Here's where we get to the issue. Some are elevating a spiritual gift above all others. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. His point is like a whole body is not just an ear. That would be weird just to see an ear walking around. It's made up of everything, everybody. That means it's not just the extroverts, but also the introverts. It's not just the people who want to teach and preach the word. It's also the people who want to sit behind a desk and write some encouraging note cards to those who are in the hospital or those who are suffering right now. It's those who want to show up to pray, but don't feel comfortable standing on a stage and reading scripture. There are people all across this, but there are some people who can't wait to greet and serve coffee. Others of you, that would make you want to throw up to do that. You know what I mean? And that's okay. You're all important. That's his point. We need to be wise and take notice that an unbalanced emphasis on any particular gift at any time and place in the church is wrong. We can't do what we do without all of us together. I can't do what I do without you. We need you using your gift for God's glory and the good of the church. Paul emphasizes that in verses 18 and 19. There is unity amidst diversity, and we are to find our unity in the Holy Spirit. Now, one quick roll here. Let me just, on this idea of you being important, I will say briefly that I want to implore you that as you get involved in our church, there are people who make church all about the guy on the stage. You commit to a church based on how that guy is. And I would encourage you, yes, that's very important. The word is important. But if your church dependence, your church loyalty depends on the guy on the stage, then you've misplaced your priorities severely. If I die, or if I move, heaven forbid God calls me anywhere else, I don't want to do that. I pray against it. But if I did, and you go, well, Ronnie's gone, I'm out. That's a misplaced priority. You have become a spectator and a consumer and not a loyal church member. We need you loving these people because these people need to be loved by you. And you got to be playing your part. If I leave, it's your role to make sure a faithful person stands in this pulpit next. That's how the churches go forward. Churches who tank are the churches who make it about the guy on the stage. And that is not about me. We have one person, Jesus Christ. I say that with love. All right, number three, every member is needed. And number four, every member is called. We're gonna buzz through these two. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. These verses show the importance of building one another up. Your gifts are meant to care for, love, and build up one another. This is why you are needed. You are needed in this body. Your community group needs you. We have community groups that need your gifts. Some of you are gifted administratively who can help take roles in the community groups because the leader struggles. Some of you can build the prayer list in the community groups. I mean, there's so many ways that you could serve in so many different places. Perhaps you don't really know what your gift is. You want to deploy it, but you're not sure. The truth is, some of you might have the gift of preaching. You not even know it. Some of you might have the gift of ministry of some sort, or ministry leadership. Some have the gift of wisdom. Some have the gift of discernment. Some have a gift of service. Some of compassion or giving insight to situations. I would encourage you to let us know if you have a gift so we can help you. Or we're talking about potentially starting a two-week develop or discern your spiritual gifts class, discover your spiritual gifts class. If you have a desire for that, let us know. Michael Bird's thinking about starting that this Wednesday night for the next 2 weeks. Let us know if that's something you'd like to do. Grab a Connect card and fill that out. And then he makes the final point here. Every member is called. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed, he's appointed it. You're called in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? He makes his case here. No, certainly not all are the same. They're all distinct and they're all different. And he closes it by saying, but earnestly desire the higher gifts and I will show you a still more excellent way. What is this point? That all gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to whomever he wills. And so if you are hiding your gift, you're hoarding your gift, and you're keeping it back because you're hanging out on the fringes of church commitment, I just want you to know you are walking in disobedience. God's given you a gift. He's empowered you to use it. It's time to step in. It might be uncomfortable, but let's figure it out. What are the higher gifts he's talking about? I think he means those that do more to build up the church, like the ministry of the word, the public preaching, the public ministry of helping and encouraging others. And what is the more excellent way? Well, he's pointing to chapter 13, which we're gonna get into next week. Chapter 13 is the love chapter. And the whole point is that to show love to one another means that we care for them and we give ourselves for their sake. See, we have decided as a church to hold high the mission God's given us, to elevate this mission and to fight to keep this priority. And as God has given us growth and faithfulness, we got to be careful of not getting in the weeds of disagreement and fighting. We got to hold the mission high, unifying around God's global disciple-making, kingdom-expanding mission. If our mission is not constantly held high in our hearts, then the focus on reaching people with the gospel and making disciples tends to shift, and all other things will get in the way. Our preferences mainly. If we do not set our hearts on the one God-glorifying mission before us, our minds will drift towards personal preferences, desires, and wants, all kinds of places we should not be. And likewise, if we don't see the value and importance of our role in building up this body of believers, we will become consumed by selfish spirituality. Let me provide some clarity briefly. We live in a very individualistic age where me, myself, and I rules the day. Consumeristic Christianity is everywhere. And I can't tell you how many times me and one of our pastors have sat down with someone and we have heard them tell us about what the perfect church that they're looking for looks like. What they're really looking for is this, and this. You know, if a church doesn't do it my way, I'm out. If a church doesn't have this ministry, I'm out. If the church doesn't disciple people like I think they should, I'm out. If a church doesn't sing the kind of music I like, I'm out. If a church doesn't support my ideas, I'm out. If a church doesn't do this kind of preaching, I'm gone. You know what that says? Is that you're the kingmaker. That's what it is. You're very arrogant. You have your way. You're never gonna be happy. These kinds of people are never satisfied. They're highly critical people. They show their arrogance by putting themselves up as if they know the best way. Meanwhile, they ignore and insult any sort of staff members who put thought into the way things are going. Sure, can we receive critical feedback? Absolutely. But the kind of people who wanna demand their way and demand the kind of perfect church are just people who are never gonna be satisfied. You know what a believer does? They humble themselves. They get involved in the ministry they care about. They seek to make it better. They seek to serve one another, encouraging the leaders and building up the body together and seeking to bring new ideas and fresh content. They seek to serve for the betterment of the body. So what's my point? My point is that we should seek to serve the present ministry of the church rather than criticize it. We should dive in and make the church better. With that in mind, let's bow our heads and close our eyes today. And I want to invite you to think about this one question today. What is God asking you to do? What is the step God's asking you to take? Is he asking you to step into church membership? If so, after this, stop by Next Steps on your way out on the right. Is God asking you to sign up for a spiritual gifts class? Stop by Next Steps on the way out or fill out a Connect card. Maybe you need to talk with someone. Our pastors will be around. I'll be down in the back on the way out. So please stop and talk to me. Whatever it is, what is the step God is calling you to take today?